about this. We had teachers hiding behind curtains, writing down the names of students walking past without hats on. They were trying to see who could give the most lunchtime detentions to us. After probably 3 or 4 weeks of this going on, and a lot of grumbling about it, my very mature cohort of students decided that the best thing we could do was have a mini riot. Well, some of them decided that. I didn't know this was going on. Many of us didn't know this was going on. We walked out of a class one day, saw a whole bunch of our friends marching off somebody, so we just tagged on with them and were walking along with them. And as we were walking along, there were a few more vocal members of the group asking what we thought of the crackdown on uniforms. What did we think of these detentions? This is wrong. What do you think? It's excessive. It's overboard. They shouldn't be doing it as much as they are. Now, I had no idea that as we were still getting closer towards the building where the admin and the principal's offices were, that where we didn't normally go, that this was turning into something of a riot. By the time we got outside the principal's office, the yelling had started. There were no placards, but it was pretty vocal. And some were demanding to see the principal. Now, many of these guys who are so caught in, we know what is right, we're going to stand up for our rights, were guys who knew about God. Now, last week we see that James tells us to be peaceable, to be gentle, to willing to yield, to be merciful and to show good fruits. Pretty much everything you read in James 3 last week that the Christians should show wasn't there by a lot of these really vocal guys. We had a cause to fight, and for some of us unwittingly at the time being there, we were going to stamp our mark on things, draw this conflict to an end. We were going to finish things once and for all. And we wanted to see the principal, who that day was out of the school on a conference. We wanted justice. We wanted justice because we knew what was best. We were proud that we'd figured out we didn't need to wear hats. We were proud because we'd figured out that those socks didn't really matter if we were wearing the right socks. We were right and nobody else had any idea what they were talking about, certainly not the teachers. Now, you're probably wondering why I'm sharing a story about a failed riot, which wasn't even much of a riot anyway. The reason I'm sharing that tonight is that in many ways what James talks about tonight relates to this. Well, maybe not the specific action of having a riot, but an attitude that results in similar outcomes that we find ourselves in today. James talks to us about wars, he talks to us about divisions, he talks to us about conflict. But in many ways, James says these are symptoms. They need to be dealt with, but they are not the cause. He wants us to see the root cause of the issue. Just like it was my grade a few years ago now, the same attitude is one that James is addressing tonight. That is one of pride. Pride is indulging one's self. Seeing what we want and doing everything we can do to give ourselves that satisfaction, to just indulge where we're at that point in time. And we do this in all sorts of ways. We can pride ourselves on the abilities that we have to do things. We can pride ourselves because of the things that we have and become more and more self-indulgent in these areas. We can pride ourselves on our opinions just as easily. We very easily indulge ourselves in all sorts of things. The issue James is addressing for his audience tonight stems from the need that they have. And we're reading this as well, we're the audience as well, that we also have to ask themselves whether we've aligned ourselves with a cause because it fits our perception of what's right and appropriate, or whether we're doing what is pleasing to God. One of the guys who commentates on this part of the Bible reminds us that the Jews had a history, and the Jews in the dispersion spread out with the original audience. They had a history of fighting others based on pride. Now, this is not talking about Old Testament conflicts. That was a different story. But in the 400 years between the end of the Old Testament and the start of the New Testament, the Jews had fought the Romans multiple times. They'd fought among themselves multiple times. Judaism itself was split into three primary classes. There was conflict all the time. They kept becoming divided as a nation, divided from other people. They kept having these issues because of pride. Some people, they explain this simply as a zeal for God. I think maybe stuff similar to the Crusades. But the wars, the conflicts, and the divisions that James is reminding them of is not really based on their love for God. It's based on their pride. It's based on their indulging themselves over their opinion being right at the expense of others and going in as hard as they can to bat for their ideologies at various points along the way. Pride, not religion, is a cause of conflict. Now, I know that there's thoughts out there that religion is a cause of war. And if that's the case, if religion is a cause of divisions, if religion is really the issue, not pride, James is missing the mark here. But if we look through world history, there's been 1,763 major conflicts recorded. Of them, 123 have been fought under the banners of religion, so only 6.98% of wars have been fought having stated religion as their primary cause. See, religion is not the issue here. James talks earlier on about religion that is pure, is to look after the orphans and the widows, those who are unable to look after themselves. James is right on the mark. Pride, our insistence that we are always right, is the reason we fall into conflict. And we might be thinking we haven't fought any wars lately. As individuals, we haven't really done that. Maybe for a lot of us that's true. War and conflict, however, do come from within us. When James says we are prideful at the core, he says the following. He says, we lust and have nothing. Our lust causes us to try to indulge ourselves with the things that other people have and creates divisions between us. We murder and covet and we cannot obtain. I think this one's very sad. You ask and you do not receive because you ask amiss that you may spend it on your pleasures. Last week when we looked at God being a God who is the source of wisdom, we see that anything that we need to ask of God, we can ask of him. In the book of 1 Peter, Peter tells us, I believe in chapter 4, could be wrong, going off the top of my head here. I believe in chapter 4 of 1 Peter that if we are to be sober-minded for the sake of our prayers. And what Peter's saying is that we need to have God's word filling our hearts and our minds as we pray, that we might not ask in a greedy, prideful, self-indulgent way. But so often, when we pray, we ask amiss just because we want God to provide what we want right now. And if this is us, and James says that we are considered adulterers and adulteresses because our pride says, okay, to satisfy ourselves regardless of the hurt that we cause to others. It's not an exhaustive list of the ways in which pride expresses itself. But when we look at what James tells us there, he's hit us right between the eyes in a way which we really need to hear. Because often we think it's okay to say that we are right to dig our heels in, to not be willing to yield on certain issues, to not be willing to listen on certain issues. Even though last week James says we should be willing to yield, we sometimes think it's okay to be prideful. But James says that if we are prideful, if this is us, it's almost as if we're saying to God, you know what? You might exist. In fact, you might be good. But I love myself, and I'm interested in the things I can scrape together for myself so that I can have pleasure right now, I care about that more than everything and anything else, more than you, God. It says that we prefer friendship with the world and not with God. And we need to be clear, because James goes on from there to say that if this is us, if we are living pridefully, we're not just saying that we're not friends with God and that we're in a neutral relationship with God where he can be there for us at any point in time down the track. James says that if we want to reject friendship with God, then we are God's enemies. And what's the cause of that? Pride. Self-serving. Do we really want pride? Do we really want pride to be the reason that we're at enmity with God, enemies with God, who sent his son Jesus to take away all the punishment that we deserve? This God who has shown himself in creation and in the works that he has done since the foundations of the world to be good and loving and gracious to people like us who don't deserve it. Are we so set in our ways that we think it's okay to be prideful and become God's enemies? Who do we think we are if that's the case? Do we really want to throw away a chance at being reconciled with God because our pride tells us we need to invest in what is right all the time? Pride puts us at odds with God, and it puts us at odds with the people around us too. Maybe we're still thinking that this is not us. Maybe we're thinking that we're immune to this, to difficulties like this. But is that our pride talking? Reminded this week of a quote by Charles Spurgeon. This is helpful when we fall into these sorts of thinking. He says, "Beware no man more than yourself. You carry your own worst enemy within you." And to some degree, each one of us struggles with pride. I think in some ways we have all acted as if we are our worst enemies and that we have contributed to the conflict. It's worth taking what James says seriously and asking ourselves, in what ways has pride led to deepening the divide between people? Friends, family, workmates, school friends, whoever it might be. Maybe it started off as somebody having a different opinion to us, but we're just sick of their opinion because it's not ours and it's irrelevant because of that, we think. Maybe it's those times where we jump in and we choose a side. This is dealing with a specific issue for James's first audience. The first readers of this letter had, in the years leading up to James writing this, proven that often here of something going on and jump in and choose a side. Those times where we just pursue our wants because what we want matters more, and we miss opportunities to help others when they're really hurting. They're genuinely hurting. And if we'd stop indulging ourselves for a minute, maybe notice them and show them the love that we're called to show them and the care and support they need, would that not be a better option? To be humble rather than proud. James says in verse 6, and this is a quote from Proverbs chapter 3, verse 34, "God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble." How often have we noticed, both here at Clangor on Sunday nights, or if you come to Everton Park in the morning, or just really every day in our lives, how much we need the grace of God? This grace that has provided salvation. This grace that has brought us from spiritual death to spiritual life. This grace that has restored us to a relationship with our Heavenly Father, who created us, and without his grace being poured out on us, we would just be his enemies still. God, we read here, doesn't give grace to those who are proud and think they can do it all on their own. But he does give his grace to those who are humble, to those who realise that we need him all the time. James has not written this to lead us to despair. James has written this so that we would do what we see in verse 7, therefore submit to God, resist the devil and he will flee from you. Are we submitting to God? We know the devil is not good. We know the devil does not care for us. We know God does, though. And it's in the context of being humble before God, of submitting to God, of giving everything that we have over to him because he is the one who owns everything. It's his to begin with. Why would we be so proud as to try and hang on to what he already owns? In giving everything over to him, as people saved by his grace and protected by him, it's in that context that he says the devil will flee from us. Not because of us, but because we are submitted before God. It is a delight to the devil to see people fighting and arguing and warring with one another based on our own frequent self-assertion that we are the ones who are right and have the right understanding all the time. After we read the first six verses we've read tonight, we should realise that yes, we do have problems. Yes, we do struggle with pride. We can't blame others for conflict that goes on. That's on us. We are sinners. But we are sinners who are recovering. We are sinners who can be and are cleansed by God. And that goes for each and every person here who has their faith in Jesus Christ, that we are cleansed by him. And often we need to keep going back to him, to keep submitting to God. But that is the right thing for us to do, because it is better to be clean than to live in filth. James says, lament and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to gloom. In light of our pride, how could we not do this? When we consider who we are, the sort of people that we tend to be so often, how could we go around thinking that we're amazing people? We can't really, can we? Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to gloom. I'm not advocating for self-pity here. Back at the start of James, James says, count it all joy when you suffer trials of various kinds. What James is saying here is that when we come to God repentant of our pride, acknowledging that our pride is so wrong and that we have messed up so many times because of our pride, then we shouldn't come to him laughing or joyful or any of those things. But we should come to him saying, I've made a huge mess of things. And ask him to forgive us. There's nothing in what we do on our own to rejoice in. But where we rejoice is when God lifts up the humble. As undeserving as we are of the cleansing that God offers to sinners like us, he does cleanse us and he does lift us up. He says to us that we are restored and we are right in his eyes because of the finished work that Jesus did on the cross and in him being raised back to life 3 days later. This sort of lifted up is being done in a way where our priorities are sorted, where we're not interested in our own self-indulgence anymore. We're not all about feeding that pride anymore, but we're now focused on God, how holy he is and how good he is. And that is a lifting up that is worlds away from the self-elevation we were talking about earlier tonight. It's worlds away from that place where our pride insists we have the right to elevate ourselves above anyone and anything else simply because we say we have the right. When we are humble before God, God takes that away. And God shows us, just like we saw last week, that this is wise, and only in being submissive before God can we truly live. Only in being humble before God can we truly have peace. And if that's us, if we have been humbled before God by the grace of God and the work of the Spirit in us, then we should thank God for that peace that He gives us and stop insisting that we can do everything on our own because we just can't. Maybe the pride's easier. Maybe we want to continue in our pride to speak evil of the people around us. Maybe we think it's our right to say whether that person is okay or not. That we cast an eternal judgment on that person and say, yes, that person is going to heaven, no, that person is going to hell forever. That is not our place. Only God can do that. He is the only one who can save or to destroy. We need to be mindful that our pride often leads us to this place. But we need to be humble before God because humility is the only cure to the worldliness that we often fall into. The choice that James puts before us tonight really is quite simple. On one hand, we can continue in pride. We can continue in its destructive, greedy, self-centered, ugly, war, conflicting, divisive ways. On the other hand, we can be humble, acknowledge our need for God all the time, acknowledge that only God can cleanse us. Pride concerns itself with who is right, and often that's our struggle with it, because we think we are right. Humility concerns itself with what is right. What could be more right than God, who loved us enough to send His Son to die in our place, that we could have cleansing from sin and restoration with Him? And when we're humble, we don't just get the what is right, we get the who is right as well. God is not wrong. He is the source of all wisdom. We need to humble ourselves before Him, to remove ourselves from prideful ways and acknowledge God all the time. He alone is a cure for this. Last week we saw He promises us wisdom, and He will give us the wisdom to be able to do this when we ask of Him and seek His glory.